I woke up this morning, kept hitting the snooze button, couldn't get out of bed. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? And when I finally got up, there was somebody else in the bathroom and I really needed to go. Can you believe that? When I finally got my morning ritual done and headed off to church, someone cut me off in traffic. Can you believe that? When I got here this morning, someone had taken my favorite parking spot. Can you believe that?
No.
Me neither. And when I stepped into the building, I'm walking around greeting everybody. I found out that my zipper was down and I had a hanger on my nose. Can you believe that? And nobody told me about it. Can you believe that? Now that I'm here and able to talk to you people this morning, I want you to know that it's made up 95% of what I just told you. Can you believe that? Belief. Can you believe that? Belief is a big, big deal. It's huge. Belief can bind us together in unity, or it can tear us apart in division, causing strife, pain, anguish, sometimes even death. People die for their belief. There are few things on this earth that are more powerful than belief. There's few things that are as powerful as belief. It's so powerful that sports teams use it as a slogan or a mantra. Believe. Go Browns. Cleveland Browns haven't won anything in a long, long time. So sorry to all you Browns fans. Belief separates us into religions. Belief separates us into political parties. Beliefs put us into pigeonholes that are born out of fear of others because of the amount of money you make or the length of your hair or maybe tattoos that you have. There's a lot of different things that cause people to believe something and tear somebody down for it. Belief will cause us to keep a person down because of one decision they made long ago in their past. Belief will lift us up or tear us down. What I want to know today is, what do you believe? What do you believe? Before we dive into that, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. You are the King of Kings. You are the most powerful and above all, Lord. You made the biggest of the big and the smallest of the small and everything in between. And the entire universe cries out for your glory, Lord. And you deserve that glory. We just ask that you open up our hearts and our minds today, Lord, that you would give us the words that you have for us, Lord, that those words wouldn't be mine, they would be yours, Lord. Let the Spirit move us. We love you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So belief is a powerful thing, but what is exactly belief? Because in order to understand what I'm going to talk to you today, you have to know what belief is. Well, Webster's Dictionary defines belief as a state or habit of mind in which trust or confidence is placed in some person or thing, something that is accepted, considered to be true, or held as an opinion. Belief is conviction of the truth of some statement or the reality of some being or phenomenon, especially when based on examination of evidence. Belief. If you are a Christian, you believe in the God of the Bible. And that's a good thing, because that's what we're here for. And God makes it very clear how important that belief is. Look at Romans 10, 9 and 11, 9 through 11. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Our faith is dependent upon belief. If we did not believe, we would be said to have a lack of faith. But what about atheism, somebody may ask? Atheists don't believe. Well, if you're an atheist, you believe that God doesn't exist. So let's write this down. Everyone believes in something. It doesn't matter if you're the most devout Christian or the most staunch atheist. We all believe in something. As children, we believed in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy and the Boogeyman. As children, we believed that our parents were infallible. And then we grew up. I know I was shocked. Some kids believe that they are unlovable. We have kids like that at our church. Don't believe that they can be loved. Some believe that they're losers and they can't succeed at anything. I know that's true because I was that kid at one point. Our beliefs shape the way that we look at the world. Our beliefs shape the way we allow the world to affect us. Our beliefs shape the way we affect the world around us. Some people stake their eternal destiny on the belief that there is no life beyond this one. Some people believe that if God is good, he'll surely send everybody to heaven, or at least wouldn't send anybody to hell. Some people believe that you can just slide along because compared to other people, Adolf Hitler, Charles Manson, Jeffrey Dahmer, compared to these people, we're not that bad. Some people believe that they're going to get into heaven simply in the name of Jesus. But Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 7 that no won't necessarily be the case. Matthew 7, 22 through 23 says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" That's a scary verse. There are several verses in the Bible that are really scary. And they should make you sit up and pay attention. We have this one here, John 16, 33. "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." But in this world you will have trouble. That's not a very good promise. Who wants that? You know, when Jesus walked the earth, he wasn't a fluffy words kind of guy. He wasn't a half-truths person. He never pulled his punches and he never watered down his message at all. And he promised his followers, "In this world you will have trouble." Life is hard. For some, it's harder than others. And your days of darkness may be many. And you know what? That should give you hope. What? It should give you hope. Because when we find ourselves experiencing weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, something strange isn't just happening to us. This isn't something that came out of the clear blue and just hit us like a ton of bricks, because if you read the word, you know that this world is broken. And in a broken world, this is what you get. You get futility. And that futility is that we can't find freedom on our own. It's impossible. And sometimes it causes pain. So let's write this down. Sometimes our belief causes us pain. Sometimes our belief causes pain. But remember what Jesus said. "You will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." That should give us hope. And we should expect sorrows from a broken world. Even if you don't follow Christ, the world we live in is hard. You know what they say? Life is hard. Get a helmet. And if you're not a believer and you have nothing to cling to, and this world is hard enough. But for those of us who follow Jesus, he has promised us trouble because our worldview is contrary to the world's worldview. But in your times of darkness, you really need to know that Jesus understands and wants you to take heart. He has overcome the world. Sometimes it doesn't feel like Jesus has overcome the world. Sometimes it feels like advertising companies have taken over the world. Because everyone is vying for your belief. Everybody wants your belief. CBS News did an interview with J. Walker Smith. He's an advertising exec from a large advertising firm. And the information gleaned from that interview was really shocking. Here's what CBS News had to say. Walker Smith says, we've gone from being exposed to about 500 ads a day back in the 1970s to as many as 5,000 a day today. It seems like the goal of most marketers and advertisers nowadays is to cover every blank space with some kind of brand logo or promotion or an advertisement, Walker Smith said. That's from Cutting Through the Advertisement Clutter from CBSNews.com. And that article was from 2006, 12 years ago. 12 years ago, we were getting inundated by 5,000 ads a day. That was before the explosion of social media. That was before the really big rise of mobile communications. Today, it could only have gotten worse. We see advertisement products everywhere. We even see product placement in advertisements for other products. I saw a commercial last night for McDonald's, and they were advertising Coca-Cola. Like, hey, let's see if I can get this person to advertise on my advertisement so I don't have to pay for my advertisement. It's crazy. We are inundated by ads everywhere, commercials. Everybody wants our belief. Companies everywhere are trying to get you to believe in them, and they're spending massive amounts of dollars to do so. It's Pepsi versus Coke. It's McDonald's versus Burger King versus Wendy's. It's Ford versus Chevy. Boy, does that argument really get people's hackles up, right? How about Microsoft versus Apple? You know, if it's not the rednecks, now it's the nerds, right? How about Xbox versus PlayStation? Boy, howdy. I'm not even going to weigh in on that one. I have both. They got me with their advertisement dollars. But the list goes on and on and on. But let me tell you the truth. In the end, there is only one brand name that means anything. Let's take a look. John 14, 6 through 7. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And that's in the person of Jesus. Yet the world goes along, blissfully unaware. You know, they say happiness is bliss. And we're all happy because we don't pay any attention to the person that changed the game 2,000 years ago. We're still stuck on our brands. Is it rock music, country music, or rap music? Or a blend of all three? Is it the Broncos versus the Chiefs? Go Broncos. Is it Geico versus Progressive? Who could save you the most money? And how quickly? How about Adidas versus Nike? We stick to our brands. You hear that, right? And speaking of Nike, everybody knows. What is the big deal about it? Well, we're going to talk about that here in a minute. Well, we're going to talk about that right now. But everybody ever seen Nike has grabbed a hold of the believe mantra? It's an ingenious advertising campaign. I don't care who you are, you have to agree with that. One that's cost millions and millions of dollars. And the subject matter is so controversial that it's generated news coverage worth advertising dollars. As of last Tuesday, Nike saw more than 43 million in media exposure. That's media exposure through news networks that were talking about their ad that Nike didn't have to pay a dime for. 43 million just by Tuesday. When did the ad come out? Last week?
Yeah.
And by Tuesday, they had generated more than 43 million in media exposure just through news outlets. And that's according to Apex Marketing Group, reported by Bloomberg. Man, that's crazy. They picked up on something and they ran with it. Okay? But here is the print version of the ad. Now, if you can't read that, it says, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Now, I have nothing absolutely against Colin Kaepernick. He's a great athlete. He was in college, at least, and he made some noise in the NFL. But I believe the ad has done what Nike and Colin Kaepernick wanted. It's cost people to talk. People are talking about Nike, and they're laughing as people burn their shoes and they have to go buy some new ones. But Colin Kaepernick got exposure to who he is and the plight that he's dealing with and the cause that he's trying to stand up for. Believe it or not, whether you like it or not, there it is. Regardless of how the ad pans out, your ideas will only be affected by what you believe. If you are a person that likes Colin Kaepernick and you believe that what he's standing up for is right, you're going to applaud that ad. If you think Colin Kaepernick is a loser, bad athlete, and just is sour grapes because he can't get picked up by an NFL team, then you're going to look at that ad and you're going to be like, whatever. And the world is divided again. Nike grabbed onto something, and it's caused a stir, and they're making millions off of it. But true to form, the internet jumped all over this opportunity to do what the internet invariably does. It memes you to death. Okay, so check this one out. Bark at everything, even if something isn't there. Anyone know this dog? Yeah, it probably belongs to your neighbor, right? Yeah. How about a little Star Wars meme action? Shoot at something, even if it means missing everything. How many Star Wars fans we got in here? All right, a little bit more than last time. Those of you who don't know, let me explain that anyone who follows Star Wars even remotely knows this, that stormtroopers can't hit squat with a laser pistol. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, it's generally the only reason that we got beyond the first movie, right? This is how the first movie should have panned out. Stormtrooper shoots Luke. Leia never gets saved. Yada, yada. The Empire never has to strike back. That's not the way it happened, right? Now they're up to what? Episode 9? All because that poor guy can't hit anything with a laser pistol. You're probably right. It's the helmet. Can't see nothing. All right, how about some Muppet face time? Anybody recognize this guy? Raise your hand if you'd recognize this guy. All right, I'm not as old as I thought I was in the last sermon. Mork, right? Anybody can read that? Mork. Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't seen that guy, you got to check out the Muppet Show. You could probably see it on YouTube. He's hilarious. Even if you don't have a sense of humor. Let's get a little bit modern here. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing half of everything. Now, how many of you haven't seen Avengers Infinity War? How many of you haven't? Sorry for the spoiler, guys. How about one a little bit more controversial? Believe in something, even if mama says it's the devil. Man, the internet is a brutal. And all of this off of just that one Nike ad. And there's more out there, trust me. I mean, these are the funny ones. There's a lot of others that are just kind of dumb. And maybe these are too, but they're fun and they're funny. But the backlash of this hasn't been all fun and games. Some people feel that they know a better way to get the message across. Let's look at Pat Tillman. Anybody know who Pat Tillman is? Raise your hand. Or was? For the rest of you, Pat Tillman was an NFL star. He was a hard-hitting linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals. And then 9/11 happened. Pat Tillman gave up a multi-million dollar contract. He joined the Army because he believed in this country. He went over to fight in Afghanistan and got killed in action. Talk about an athlete that sacrificed everything for what he believed. He could have been probably a Hall of Famer. The way he was playing at that time, And he gave it up because he felt the urge to defend the country that he loved, sacrificing everything. Here's a picture of Tyler Edenhofer. Tyler Edenhofer was killed earlier this year in the line of duty. And just after Nike's ad came out, his colonel posted this on Twitter. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. And his colonel said, these are the real heroes, the people that take up arms to defend those who can't defend themselves. These are the real heroes. It's divided this country. But the thing is we're talking. And as long as we talk in a way that we can each come to the table and understand what the other person is saying, then it does some good. But everybody is vying to get you to believe what they want. So many people with something to say, right or wrong. They want to get you to believe what they believe. And you know what? I'm really no different. Here's what I believe. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Believe in Jesus. He sacrificed everything. And at the end of it all, when we wade through all the muck and all the standoffishness and everybody getting mad at each other over a stupid Nike ad, what means the most? What really means anything? Jesus, believe in Jesus. It cost him everything. Let's write this down. There are millions of things competing for your beliefs, but there is only one of these, but only one of these is ultimately true. There are millions of things competing for your beliefs, but only one of these is ultimately true. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to write Jesus out beside the word true and write a line between Jesus and true and circle Jesus, because you're not going to have that picture to understand what I was talking about when you take your notes home. Jesus is the ultimate truth. And you know what? As humans, we are not alone in knowing that truth. We're not alone in knowing that truth. James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. So it's not just a figment of earthly imagination that we know about Jesus. Even everything in the spiritual realm knows Jesus. One of the more crazy stories from the Bible happens in Acts 19, and we'll set it up here. God was doing extraordinary miracles through Paul in a city called Ephesus, and some local Jews thought that they would get in on the act and began walking around invoking the name of Jesus to drive out demons. But there was a Jewish priest named Sceva who had seven sons, and his sons were walking around doing this, trying to drive out demons in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached. And that's exactly how they'd say it. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached. And we'll pick this story up in Acts 19, verse 15 through 17. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. It's crazy. The spirit, the evil spirit, knew of Paul, the Apostle Paul, but what does he say? I know Jesus. Jesus is not just a human invention. Let's write this down. Even the enemy believes that Jesus is the Messiah. Even the enemy knows that Jesus is the Messiah. Not only does the enemy know the truth, the enemy wants to get you off your game. The enemy wants to get you off your game. And what better way to get you off your game, to undermine your beliefs, than to actually attack you or the ones that you love? Spiritual warfare is a very real thing. I don't know if you come here and you just believe in God and don't believe in Satan. But if you believe in the God of the Bible, let me tell you, the Bible does talk about a counterpart. And Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Spiritual warfare is a very real thing. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Would that be you? He's trying. There is a war being waged on your belief. Again, constantly inundated. Everybody's trying to do something about your belief. Let's write this down. The enemy has a plan to shake your belief. The enemy has a plan to shake your belief. But the good news is, before the enemy had a plan to shake your belief, God came up with a plan before that. Before time began, he knew that the enemy was going to come up with a plan of his own, and he made a counter plan before the plan even came to fruition. And he knows when he set that into motion, it was a game changer. And he knows that love eventually conquers all and eventually wins out. Let's look at John 3:16, 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. To save the world through him. Some people walk around thinking, man, God's mad at me. God hates my guts. God hated your guts. He wouldn't have sent Jesus into the world. Some people walk around saying, God's mad at me. You couldn't be more wrong. God isn't mad at you. He loves you. And he didn't send Jesus to condemn anyone. Some people are like, well, all you Christians, you just want to condemn me. God wants to send me to hell. No, we do a bad enough job of that ourselves. That was our original destination. From the fall of man, our destination was hell. But what did God do about it? God didn't say, well, they screwed up, let's just send them all to hell. No, God said, let me inject the solution to that problem in the name of Jesus. Jesus came into the world so that we might be saved through him. Let's write this down. God loves you and wants you to have eternal life. God loves you, and he wants you to have eternal life. He's not mad at you. He doesn't hate you. If he hated you, he wouldn't have sacrificed his only Son. And let's be clear. Salvation is a free gift from God. There ain't nothing we can do to get salvation for ourselves, because he wants the glory from our lives, and he deserves it. He created everything. It's not a matter of God being all stuck on himself and stuff like that. I mean, he did create the universe. You think he has a reason to be all stuck on himself. But the thing is that he deserves the glory. It's not about him needing to be all big. He's very confident in who he is. But he deserves glory from your life. And he wants to be the reason that you are saved, because he loves you. But it's not enough just to receive it and sit on it. So say I were to get married, like many, 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 many years into the future. My wife will know my heart by the things I tell others about her. Or if I even tell others about her. You know, be like, you come over to my house and be like, hey, Dave, who's that chick that's living with you? Mm-hmm. Boy, she would really get a clue, wouldn't she? That wouldn't be a very good marriage. But the same is true about our relationship with God. Do you want others to know how great your God is? If not, perhaps you should question your motives about coming to church as a Christian. Perhaps you should question if you're really saved, if you don't want anybody to know who your Jesus is. Let's look at this. Matthew 10:32-33. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. It's another one of those scary verses. And you begin to wage war within yourself, argue with yourself, am I really saved or not? Bless you. But the thing is absolutely true. What are you going to do with it? Let's write this down. It's not enough to just believe. We must be open about it. We need to tell people about Jesus, because let me tell you something. Jesus told us that the two greatest commandments are to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And the second commandment is like it, is love your neighbor as you love yourself. Can you love God and not tell your neighbor? Because either A, you don't really love God, or B, you don't really love your neighbor enough to see him in heaven. Well, he annoys me enough in this life. Why would I want to spend eternity with him? Well, you might just. In the other place. Because of who you are or how you reacted to him. So, I want to give you the chance to be open about it. I want you to proclaim the name of Jesus. How many of you in here have Snapchat? Raise your hand. Jeez, I'm in the minority. All right, so let's do this for all of you who have Snapchat. For all of you who don't, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to wait for a second. But this is really kind of a neat deal, okay? So I want you to look at that deal up on the screen. Now, I had some people tell me, well, it didn't work. Pull out your Snapchat, point it at that, zoom in so that it covers your screen. Ah. Okay, and then take a picture of it. If it doesn't do anything right off the bat, then try it again, okay? You could take a snap. And if you did it right, you'll see a picture, you'll see yourself with the words, I believe, in bold letters above there. Now, let me go ahead and see if I can take a picture of all you guys who don't have Snapchat. Okay. Now, when you take that Snapchat, go ahead and send it to our story. Don't send it to my story. Send it to our story. Because this will tell the world, I believe. Okay. Take a picture of that. It should actually open it up on your phone to where you have a filter. If it doesn't work at first, try and try again. It doesn't work? Okay, go ahead and long press in there, you know, like where you get to your filters? Yeah. It should be there, that same picture. If that doesn't work, get with me after the service and I'll take a selfie with you, okay? All right. But we want to be open about Jesus. Man, Jesus is our hope. You know that first song that we sang tonight, Jesus, our hope of heaven. Man, without him, we are on the highway to hell. And back in the day, that was a good song. It doesn't look so good nowadays, you know? But regardless of what you believe, man, it's going to cost you something. It doesn't matter. We all have beliefs, and the beliefs that we have exclude us from the other beliefs that are there, right? So if I believe opposite of you, I'm going to miss out on what you have. If you believe opposite of me, you're going to miss out on what I have. But the truth of the matter is, whatever you believe, it's going to cost you something. If you put your energy into this life, you may lose out on eternity. If you put your energy into eternity, you may lose something in this life, possibly even your life. I know that's scary, but that's the choice that we have. And the choice is yours to make. Write this down. Believe in something because it will cost you everything. Believe in something because it will cost you everything. You know, we can go ahead and go through life blissfully unaware, but there's a reason I think that you're here. I believe that you believe in Jesus, or you want to believe in Jesus, or you need something that your life hasn't got. And I pray that if that's where you're at right now, that you grab a hold of Jesus and you run with it. Let's do some practical application. Practical application number one. I want you to surround yourself with believers Surround yourself with believers, and there's no better place to do that than in growth groups. And some people may get tired of hearing Dave talk about growth groups. Shameless plug. No, a shameless plug would be like, all you men need to be in my men's groups Friday night at 7 or Saturday morning at 10:30. Right? All right. Come see me after church. That would be a shameless plug. Thanks. But the thing is that we have a wonderful community here that's not just right here. We have a wonderful community that's spread out among right now 13 growth groups. And they get together, they get into each other's lives. Now, let me tell you something. God knows what you did last night or yesterday or the day before. God knows that thought that you had before you stepped in the church. And you can't necessarily get away with that with people that know who you are. You get in these growth groups, yeah, it sounds a little scary. Yeah, it sounds like might be, you know, something that you don't want to deal with, somebody getting into your life. But let me tell you what, would you rather have somebody holding you accountable in this life and try and straighten you out than you get to eternity and have God hold you accountable for the rest of eternity? I know what I want. Surround yourself with believers, man. Let's grow together. Number two, dive into the Bible and get to know God better. Let me tell you, man, the Bible is probably the hardest book there is to pick up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Bibles sit there on the coffee table or on the shelf and collect dust because we're too busy in our lives to take the time out. But I promise you something. You pick that Bible up, and I tell everybody it's the hardest book to pick up. It's also the hardest book to put down. The words are living and alive, and they mean something. It's the truth for you, for the person sitting next to you. There is no my truth, your truth, and they might be different. No, this truth is universal, and it is the truth. It is absolutely true. Without getting to know God better, spiritually, you will be hamstrung, and you will not know what to do with your faith. If you want to do something with your faith, if you want to move forward, man, dive in and get to know God. And let me tell you something. If you don't know where you're going right now, if you think you're stuck, if you're not sure about this God thing, hit your knees and ask God to show himself to you because he will do that. I promise you. He did it to me. When I came out of prison, 2005, I hated everybody and everything because I just came out of a culture where everything was about self. And you think you deal with drama. Let me tell you how much drama there is in prison. Oh my. Everybody's at each other's throats because somebody thinks that they told on somebody else. Everybody wants to call somebody else a snitch. It's crazy. And I got out of prison and I didn't want to deal with any more drama. And I didn't want anybody judging me. And I didn't think anybody was going to love me. Well, let me tell you what, something happened on the way from then to now. I love people. That's not me. I didn't do that. If I had my way, I'd have walled myself up and shut everybody out. But thank God that somebody decided to care enough about me to bring me to Revolution Church. Now, Revolution Church isn't the be-all, end-all of churches, but it's a good place for people who are broken, people who are like me. But if you're broken and you need God in your life, hit your knees and let God do his work in you. And then dive into the Bible, get to know him better. You know, you've heard the saying, don't just talk about it, be about it. Do you believe that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for who you are. God, we just want your help to help our unbelief, help our belief that we would turn to you in every situation in our lives, Lord, that we would love you with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength, and that you would give us the strength to love those around us as much as we love ourselves. Father, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for everything. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now get out there and tell everybody what you believe.